This is Dr. David Whitlock with your Monday Morning Wake-Up Call, a podcast designed to help people wake up to the possibilities that surround them every day and become the persons they're meant to be in Jesus Christ. John Maxwell has done a tremendous amount of work and research and writing on the subject of leadership. Here's one of his quotes I like best. "A great leader's courage," he said, "to fulfill his vision comes from passion, not position." Let me repeat that. "A great leader's courage to fulfill his vision comes from passion, not position." Most everyone wants a passionate leader, don't they? I mean, a leader who casts a vision, who has courage, one who follows through. But the question is, where does a leader get his or her passion? Where does it come from? And let's face it, if you're a leader of any degree, be it a stay-at-home mom, a teacher, a coach in school, leader of a team at a factory, head of a large corporation, or a pastor, or whatever, you are from time to time going to encounter some hard knocks. Maybe they'll be in the form of a cheap, unwarranted sucker punch. Or perhaps you didn't pay attention to some things and, well, you had it coming. Or maybe you're just worn down by the day-in and day-out workload. You've had a vision, but your passion is waning. Maybe it's down to only a flicker now. And then again, you might be on top of the world. I mean, you've got the thing by the tail. But still, where do you get that passion? How do you keep the flame burning even when it's hot? Two things to keep in mind. The first is to kindle or rekindle the flame, stay connected or reconnect with your primary source, your inner being, the spirit. You've got to be disciplined enough to get away to a place where you're nourished spiritually. And for me, that's my one-on-one time alone with God. It's essential. And without it, well, I'm like a guy who's sleep deprived. Everything seems worse than it was. I'm not as good as I usually am. I don't see things as clearly. I get down and before very long, just discouraged. The tempter knows this and whispers, "What's it worth? You're not capable, and they aren't worth it." Well, that's the language from the dark side. But how sweet it is to get before God and just sit in His presence, soak in the presence of God. This is not the only way, but what works for me is early in the morning. For one thing, I don't have people interrupting me. I was in my office and a man came through the shut door and was standing there, and, "What are you doing?" he asked. I said, "Well, I was praying." He said, "Oh," and sat down and proceeded to talk. So people don't often respect that. You've got to find a place where you're alone, where you're quiet, and where people can, relatively speaking, not interrupt you. David wrote in Psalm 5:3, "Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my requests to you." Psalm 5:3. And he said, "Oh God," in another place, "you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." And in another place, "One thing I've asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." I included a quote several weeks ago in my daily quotes. It's a quote from Robert Murray McChane. He said this, "I ought to pray before seeing anyone. Christ arose before day and went into a solitary place. David says, 'Early will I seek thee.' I feel," he said, "it is far better to begin with God, to see His face first, to get my soul near Him before it's near another." Okay, that's important. This is the place where my spirit is nourished and healed and given the opportunity to grow. And that's where vision for leadership is born, where it brews and where it's sustained. And then secondly, get in the presence of others. Now let me quickly qualify that. As leaders, we're in the presence of others, whether they are people we like or not. Let's face it, there are people who will drain you for all your worth. They'll consume you. They'll spit you out without a thought of what they've done. So how to deal with those people is not the subject here, only to say if you want to sustain that vision and maintain mental and spiritual health, you must get with some people who will help you grow, people who will be the nourishers, the positive, uplifting people that will be sustainable traveling companions on your journey. You don't want people that will clap for you regardless of what you do. You need people who will be honest, but not hurtful in a permanent sense. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. So cultivate those few, and let me say there will be only a few who are able to sharpen you as you sharpen them. So there it is. Get before God, get before the right people, and you'll be in a better place to dream the dream that will propel you forward. And then come back here next week. And in the meantime, go out there and be the person God created you to be.
Dragged a comb across my head. Found the way downstairs.